This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome to another edition of Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Femi Ebefe, Joe Serralo, hanging with you guys here on the Sports Betting Network, as we should revise the name, at least for today, Joe, to South Beach Sunday, as you are over in Miami on vacation, still taking 4 hours out of your time off to do the show with us. And I'm here dripped in South Beach, trying to live vicariously through you, my friend. How are we doing on this Sunday afternoon?
You're looking like you're about to make a decision on a four-letter network right now and let us know where you're taking your talents
Don't even mess with me right now. Come on now. Baby. Come on now. Don't even mess with me, Joe. Come on.
Wow,
what are you talking about?
I might have forgot my sunglasses in the club at 6 a.m. I don't know where my shades are.
I was in bed by 9 o'clock West Coast time last night, so I didn't forget mine. I'm all good. But how are you doing? How's South Beach treating you before we get to all the bets and such?
Yeah, Femi, I'm living the dream, man. I mean, let's go a little timeline here, all right? Because I know you and Preston saw a little sneak peek on the Instagram at Joe Serralo, if you want to see how the trip is going.
Little appetizer, if you will.
Little rooftop action last night from about 11 p.m. till about 1 a.m. out here. Then little pivot, little refresh, hit a club, this spot, Jolene's. It's a no phone establishment. So that was kind of where the Instagram stories ended for the night. You go underground. They actually take like these big white stickers and they put them over your phone camera. They fold it over the back and the front camera. So they're like, no pictures, no nothing.
It's serious.
And just EDM house vibes off the charts. Just bumping all night long. Got there. Was there till about 5 a.m. Hopped around another couple places and was in bed asleep as the sun was coming up. 7 a.m. Went to bed. Woke up at noon. Got my coffee. Did my handicapping. Went for a little hot boy walk on the beach. And we are here, man. We are here. We are thriving. Found a farmer's market. You know me.
I was going to ask. I was like, is the routine a little bit different now that you're in Miami as opposed to L.A.? But you still found one.
A farmer's market and an iced Americano. That was not changing up, my man.
Oh, you went America. You didn't go cafecito? Isn't that what they be drinking down there? All that Cuban coffee? Like, you don't want to do none of that?
I had a cafecito at 10:30 last night before the club. We stopped in. Cafecitos at 10:30, double shots. Nah, but, you know, I still got to keep that California in me, you know, that intermittent fasting L.A. stuff, that avocado toast life, some of our viewers might call it.
Hey, so, there we go.
Yeah, no cafecito, no sugar that early in the morning. I'll have one after the show before the festivities continue.
The Erewhon still runs deep in our boy. You know, it still runs deep as he's out there in South Beach. They couldn't get LeBron, but they did get Joe Serralo, at least here this weekend. But as always,
some would say younger, better. Some would say more stamina. Some.
Who are those people? We're not sure, but some would say that.
Load management over here, Femi. No load management over here.
Hey, buddy, we might have to get into all that later on in the program, but we will be hanging with you guys over the course of these 4 hours. As always, you can watch us VSiN.com/watch, the VSiN Watch app, and you can listen to us live Sirius XM channel 158, where we're in your ear 24/7 per usual. And hit us up on Twitter. Hit up the show at VSiN Live. I'm on Twitter at Femi Ebefe. Joe's on Twitter at The Joe Serralo. Is that the same for the IG for the folks that did not get to see the rooftop last night? Is it at The Joe Serralo?
IG
is it a little bit different?
At Joe Serralo. IG is just my name. I've been trying to get it on Twitter. I cannot get Joe Serralo on Twitter. That's why we have The. Some people think it's the narcissism. The truth is, I just can't get it.
But you can get that photo on Twitter, though. You could get that on Twitter. Our guy Joe.
We might be throwing that up on Twitter. You know what we did throw on Twitter yesterday, Femi? A perfect 4-0 day.
We love
including
it.
A plus 520 parlay in Major League Baseball, baby.
That got thrown
up on Twitter yesterday. What a day. I haven't lost a bet since I've been in Florida, by the way. I have not lost a bet in South Beach.
Well, we discussed this last Sunday. It was like, hey, how long are you going to be out there? You said this is a 7-day trip. You might extend this one if we keep winning bets like this.
A long trip.
We might have to extend
today. I was contemplating some things today. I was like, should I be going back to California tomorrow?
A long trip. So tomorrow's when you head back to the West Coast and join us.
I was contemplating if I should.
If you needed to.
I'm here until Thursday, July 30th. Any of our viewers, South Florida, Miami, Greater Miami area, hit me up. I'm here until Thursday. I was debating if I should be going back tomorrow this morning, though. I was like, 7 days out here is a long time. I equate Miami to Vegas. I call them both two night towns. You get in, you get out like a fat girl playing dodgeball. Two nights, have at it. And that's kind of how I usually roll in these environments. 7 days is a lot.
No, I'm not even going to address that. I will say, though, we're going to do the show here for 4 hours. It is Sunday. I've never been to Miami. Live nightclub on Sundays. I heard that it's up. So, like, you have that to look forward to this evening. Little King of Diamonds Monday, if you want to participate in that as well.
It might be on the docket. You know, look, it's a light slate right now. What do we have? Phillies, Yankees, and Liv on a Sunday night. That's about it.
Exactly. Liv probably don't even open till midnight anyway, so you're good to go. You know, you can watch the game. You can have a little bit of dinner afterwards, maybe another shot of cafecito, and then bang, you out there with the EDM. You'll be out there.
I'm going to get an octuple shot of cafecito after last night, bro.
Just none of the white substances. Stay away from that stuff would be my recommendation. But as always,
what do you mean it never snows in Florida? Who said that?
Exactly.
Climate change, baby. Just blame it on climate change.
Might not be cold, but it's always snowing. We do have our whole crew behind the glass with us here at Circa Resort and Casino. Our producer, Preston Saya, with us on the ones and twos. As you can tell, as you can always tell on a live bet Sunday, we're going to have a whole lot of fun. We have four guests joining us throughout these 4 hours, starting 30 minutes from now. Founder of SEC Unfiltered, Chris Phillips, will join us to talk all things SEC as college football rapidly approaches, about a month away from week one of the college football season. Cannot wait for that. Then at 3:45 Eastern time, co-founder of Just Baseball, Peter Apple, will talk MLB trade deadline, who will be the movers and the shakers. Also, which star players could be on the move? We'll discuss that with Peter in about 45 minutes. Then at 4:30 Eastern time, Noah Levick covers the 76ers for NBC Sports Philadelphia as we recap an eventful weekend in the city of brotherly love with LeBron James signing with the Sixers. Yes, 10-9-8 76er. They are excited in the city of brotherly love with King James joining Jaylen Brown, Joel Embiid, Tyrese Maxey, and VJ Edgecombe. Then at 5 o'clock Eastern time, WNBA betting analyst Terrell Furman will check in to talk all things W post All-Star break as we're headed towards a stretch run in the WNBA. So we're very much looking forward to that. But Joel, what are you sweating so far here in Major League Baseball? I have a couple of baseball bets that I'm sweating. I got some golf that I have going on as well. But what's on your docket here on this Live Bet Sunday?
So first off, I'm feeling a little regret, and it's not for any of my behavior at the club last night. It's because I didn't take the over in the Nationals Diamondbacks game. You know, I got three bets today. Two of them are already going on. One of them I'll divulge later on in the show, Sunday Night Baseball, Phil's Yankees. But it was just a matter of, you know, you ever fire on a few and then you're like, I like this also, but I don't want to have too big of a card. Nats D-backs, I loved over. It was a flat 10. I stayed away. They're at 4-4 in the fifth inning. So that's well on its way to an over. But right now I am feeling good about my Red Sox play. I laid a run, you know, I like on the prediction markets run line. You don't have to lay 1.5. You can lay a flat one. Mm-hmm. So if it pushes, so be it. If not, I get way better odds. And I went Red Sox -1 at home against the Blue Jays. Kevin Gausman's just been trash on the road this year. Ranjer Suarez, he's been much better since a bit of a cold April to start the season. Red Sox, obviously the hottest team in baseball, especially the month of July, hands down. So I laid a run with them. They're up 3-0. Jays can tie it with one swing here. Top of the sixth. They got two on, but also two out. And then Mariners money line. They're down 1-0. It's early. I'm kind of out on Jake DeGrom. I mean, that ERA is barking up near 4. So him versus Logan Gilbert. You know, Gilbert's been great this year. Much better on the road than at home, actually. He doesn't get a lot of run support. And this Mariners lineup does worry me a lot. But I could see a low scoring, you know, 4-3, 5-3 type game. Gilbert's ERA on the road, 2-2. At home, it's 4-1. And he, by the way, Seattle's got like one of the best pitcher ballparks in the country. So it makes no sense. But Gilbert on the road with the Mariners at a plus price. And then we'll get into Sunday Night Baseball later.
Yeah, I mean, as a Mariners fan, I just know how this, like Gilbert, good on the road. Wu can't pitch on the road, but pitches well at home. They can't put it all together.
Bizarre.
But I have the game on in the studio. I will be rooting for you, of course, as a fan of the team. I do not have a bet on that game, but I always root for the Soto Mojo. So let's hopefully get the Mariners home for you in that contest. +105 against the now division leading Texas Rangers. A lot of people have been tweeting about that over the last few days here. The Rangers now the favorites over at DraftKings to win the American League West. Two baseball games for me that I bet. I'm on the first five under in Rockies Brewers. Jacob Mizrowski's doing his part in this contest. I mean, the Miz kid has been phenomenal in this game. Just absolutely unreal with what he's been doing. As I refresh the box score here to get the updated line, four innings pitched, he struck out 11, Joe. 11 in
you
four
can't
innings.
Make it up. and I stayed away from the K prop because of the crap that they pulled against the Mets the last outing, where he was striking out guys left and right, but then they pull him after four innings and he comes out just shy of his number. So I stayed away because of that, and he's already eclipsed it.
11 strikeouts in four innings. Now we'll see how long they let him go.
50 pitches.
53 pitches. 40 of which have been strikes. Like this guy is just dealing over there at Miller Park. I think they call it AmFam Park, but it's always Miller Park as far as I'm concerned. But 11 strikeouts for Mizrowski. And yes, you know, like we don't want to go ahead and jinx him, but, you know, we'll just say it, 12 up, 12 down for the
12 batters, for the Miz kid. 11 strikeouts.
12 up, 12 down for our guy.
That's insane. 11 strikeouts and 12 batters is insane.
So I need the Rockies to also, like, Freeland, who usually is a guy that I bet on, didn't bet on him in this contest because, like, I'm not against Mizrowski, so I won the under. So please, like, Mizrowski, do your thing. Strike out three more guys here in the top of the fifth. If the Freeland can just prevent the Brewers from scoring, we will be home with the first five under four. I'll let you know my other baseball bet on the other side, and I'll also share what I bet in the golf, which is not going well at the 3M Open, but we're just getting started here on a Sunday fun day, live bet Sunday here on VSiN.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The NFL preseason is only a couple weeks away, and this is your last chance to lock in early bird pricing on our football special for just $175 before the price goes up next week. So listen up. Get instant access to our NFL betting guide covering futures, win totals, division races, and player props. Then on August 3rd, you'll get our college football betting guide with previews of all 138 FBS teams, preseason power ratings, and best bets from VSiN experts. You'll also get the Fantasy Live Fantasy Football Guide featuring over 425 players, projections, and rankings, and you'll get VSiN Pro access through the Super Bowl with daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, and 24/7 video, which you need for a show like today on the VSiN Watch app before the price goes up on August 1st. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. This is Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN. Femi Bebefe, Joe Serralo. Some are calling it South Beach Sunday. I might be some of those people who are calling it that, as we're having ourselves a good time here on July 26th.
You're more dressed the part than me, hey, man. I might have to do like an outfit. This might be like a Broadway show where I just, you know, intermission, change outfits. I'll bring out a different wardrobe every hour. Four fits, 4 hours.
I had to come correct because, like, you did the work to actually go to Miami. I was never going to do that. So I was like, I got to come correct with my South Beach attire. So at least, I had to join. Well,
let's not lie to the people. I invited you. You told me, probably in confidentiality, but I'm going to air it out, you were too afraid to ask the wife if you could do it.
There's certain hills you don't want to die on, you know? It's like, there's certain hills you don't want to die
on. You were like, my summer looks like a lake house in the north, in the Midwest.
Exactly.
Joe's summer looks like South Beach with one button getting undone every hour.
So, yeah, what did you do on vacation? No, I got ate up by mosquitoes and had a good time by the lake. Just Joe's out there in the
makes
snow.
Makes two of us getting eaten up, man.
I'm gonna leave that alone. Leave that alone. As 15 minutes from now, we will be joined by Chris Phillips, the founder of SEC Unfiltered, talking all things college football. SEC Media Days was down in Tampa. Not where Joe's in Miami. SEC Media Days was in Tampa this past week. So we will get his thoughts on what should be a really intriguing season in the SEC, where, like, we got to talk about it. Haven't won a championship in a while since Georgia in 2020. It's been a minute for the SEC. So can they get back to the top of the mountain? We'll ask Chris coming up in the next segment. But as we were headed to break, I was giving out some of the baseball bets that I have. I'm on the first five under in Rockies Brewers. Hopefully we're still 3-0 in that contest here. Let me just check the live odds board. We are still 3-0. So let's stay that way, boys. let's stay that way, as Jacob Mizorowski is just absolutely putting work out there on the mound. My other bet in baseball, and as we were headed to break in the last segment, we just got a home run in this contest. I'm on the Astros first five on the money line against the White Sox. I wanted to fade Eric Fetty in this contest. It was -102 for the Astros, and the homer was hit by Taylor Trammell. Went out to center field to knock things up at 3. So this one's gone back and forth. Murakami hit a homer in the first inning. Apparently it's Murakami bobblehead day over there in on the south side. So he showed up on his bobblehead day and has actually driven in a few runs so far in this contest. But 3-3, top of the fifth there in Chicago. So those are my two baseball plays. The golf plays, well, when I bet these, I thought it was going to go much better. Then of course, everyone thinks that when they make a bet. Say, hey, this should go well. Let's see how things work out. Let's try to play some long shots in case we get a little bit of chaos. Because heading into today's final round, the youngster, the young gun, the guy who might be next on the PGA Tour, Jackson Koivun, had a 3-shot lead and was -136 over at DraftKings. Now, Koivun has never won a PGA Tour event. That might change in about 3 hours or 2 hours, or however long this ends up taking at the 3M Open. But he's 21 years old, turned pro this season, was a rock star at Auburn. Like, he is a decorated amateur golfer, now recently turned pro. And he has shown up and handled the Sunday pressure very, very well, as he is now at 23 under here through 7 holes as he is approaching the last couple holes of the front nine. It looks like we just got a homer. Cole Kerrig just hit a solo shot off Jacob Mizorowski. So now the best that I can do is push in this contest.
That's
so
a putt.
Yeah, that's tough.
Man, a guy's got what? 14 up, 14 down, 12 strikeouts.
Yeah.
And then all you got to do is connect on 103 and it'll kind of do the rest itself. By the way, you said Taylor Trammell went deep for your Astros.
Yes.
Noted power hitter, Taylor Trammell, the guy who's got a career average of $187. Man,
you got
something on your side when Taylor Trammell's going deep when you have an Astros bet. The guy's got 22 home runs in his career in 5 years in the bigs.
Showed up right on time for me. You know, I needed it. Now, like, at this point, if somebody said, we will let you just push on both of these baseball bets, like, let's say that this ends up 4-0 after 5 and I just push on under 4. Let's say that we end up just tied 3-3 after 5 between the Astros and the White Sox. I actually would sign up for it. I want off this ride.
Makes one of us. I checked my credit card statement right before the show. I can't afford a push right now. Normally I have the same mentality, but after last night,
we got to pay for the night out there in Miami. But,
Brickell ain't cheap.
No, it's certainly not. I have only heard, I've never experienced South Beach. I've heard, it is not a cheap place, like
your wife's watching the show, man. I've only heard,
I've never experienced, I've never been to Miami. I'm from Seattle, man. Like, that's a long ass trip to go down to Miami.
Not like, that bad. There've been Stanley Cups that they've traveled further for, right?
It's like the exact opposite side of the country. I'm like, man, I gotta take a day just to get out there. Like, I'm not gonna go out. I'll just go down to Vegas, or I'll go down to LA or San Diego.
That's why you do what I did. You take a red eye, you land at 7 a.m. and you just at 7 a.m. man. You know,
more power to you. I didn't take advantage of it
when I'm dead.
I instead explored the West Coast, which is very fun. I mean, you're out here in LA full time. You know, you understand what the West Coast provides. It provides a lot. It's a good time.
Yeah.
But it is, Miami is one that is on the bucket list. I'm also not a big like humidity guy, so I don't know how I would survive out there. Like, you sent Preston and I a text of the rain earlier this morning. Are you just dripping in sweat the minute you walk out of the Airbnb or hotel? Like, I don't know if I'm ready for that kind of humidity.
It hits you like a wall. Like, I mean, look, I'm not leaving LA. I love it out there, man. 80 degrees in LA, you walk outside. Like, it's unless beautiful. You're running or you're working, you could not even sweat when it's 80.
It's beautiful.
Out
yes.
here, I mean, it hit the second you leave any establishment, it hits you in the face like a ton of bricks. And you're like, whoa, it's intense. I mean, I grew up coming to Florida all the time. I'm like every New Yorker. I have a ton of family down here, but it hits you like a ton of bricks, man. It's been a couple of years since I've been out here and it was like, whoa.
I went to a wedding in Tampa a couple years ago. It is something out there. Like, it was, I didn't expect that kind of humidity. Cause I always just assumed that it was like, oh, the humidity is just down
outdoor
in Miami.
Wedding.
It was an outdoor wedding. Yes.
Like, cruel and unusual punishment. No, I would not give a gift. I would not give a gift.
The ceremony.
Outdoor wedding in Florida. You don't know. I'm sorry. Showing up is the gift.
It was early May. The ceremony was about like 20 minutes. So it wasn't super long, but still like we were dripping. Even if because we're right there on the water. It's a nice sunny day, not too much cloud coverage. So like you were feeling it. And then like it was one of those situations. And I always joked with my wife about this. I was like, I'm hot as hell right now, but I'm not taking off my jacket because I don't want to unveil the amount of sweat on my dress shirt right now. So it's just like, I just have to suck it up and just like keep all the juices in. They're all just, I cannot let it out because like it's going to be a sight for sore eyes if people see how I was sweating through that shirt.
Yeah. Glad one of us is able to keep all the juices in. I'll tell you, I went to a wedding down here in October, outdoors, same thing. It was up at Disney on one of the nice properties in Orlando. And you think, oh, October, just like you said, early May, you think you're in the clear. Best man passed out as soon as they kissed the bride.
I
don't really care. Groom was a jerk. He's no longer in the picture. It was all of a 48-hour marriage. Oh. But best man passed out as soon as they said, I do.
It's like, can we get some ice water, please? Ice water.
Yeah, somebody. Right?
Damn. Yeah,
the bride was pissed because now the mother-in-law, the mom of the groom, is crying. Her son, the best man, just passed out. Bride's like, all right, well, there goes my freaking wedding day. It was a spectacle.
Yeah, I did an outdoor wedding here in Vegas when I got married, but that's a reason why I got married on Final Four Saturday, to make sure that it was not going to be hot.
Work in this business and you got married on Final Four
man,
Saturday.
Sometimes you just got to go out. It's a give and take is what you'll learn. It's a give and take, man.
I learn more about you every day, Benny. That's crazy.
So for me, I was like, football season is an absolute no-go. Because like she wanted to do like the fall wedding. I was like, not a chance in hell. We're not doing it. And she wanted to do an outdoor wedding. So it's like, well, that takes summer off of the table as well. Because like we're not trying to have anybody pass out in the bridal party. So then it's like, we're now boxed into spring. Like, what makes the most sense in spring? So I was like, all right, well, I guess it'll be early April. And it ended up being a Final Four Saturday when we got married. Yeah.
Couldn't coincide with Arch Madness or anything. Like, couldn't have done it in March. You know, you had to watch Belmont versus Loyola Chicago or something.
We had to make sure the temperature would be just warm enough, but not too hot. Like, March in Vegas, you never know. It might be 60. And I'm not trying to be out there for an outdoor wedding. It's 60 degrees. I'm like, dog, we're not wearing parkas. So, like, had to make sure it'd be
things I don't
got to
worry about, bro. I don't think I'm ever saying I do. Things I don't got to worry about.
To wrap up where I was going with this whole damn thing, I bet Michael Kim and Billy Horschel to win the 3M Open, none of which have a chance. Early congratulations to those of you who bet Jackson Coibin. Although we'll keep an eye on what's going on at TPC Twin Cities. Chris Phillip joins us next year on Live Bet Sunday.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back. This is Live Bet Sunday. We got ourselves another push in baseball. So we pushed, and by we, I mean me, pushed with the Brewers and the Rockies first five under, 3-1 Milwaukee after five. And then I was on the Astros first five money line, and that is 3-3 after five. So no harm, no foul in the baseball. My guy Billy Horschel still six back at the 3M Open, so that's probably not going to go well. So we'll probably take an L there, but at least in Major League Baseball, you know, We sweat, but nothing happened. we get the money back. So we always appreciate it.
At least
that.
You look fly. You look like you won today, man.
You know what?
I mean, come on. I'm out here in South Beach. You're looking more Miami than me right
don't make
now.
Me
like,
put
it's a
them
problem.
Back. Don't make me put him back on again,
oh,
Joe.
Baby.
Don't make me put him back on again. Come on now. We got a guest, though. Let's get to him. Our buddy Chris Phillips, founder of SEC Unfiltered on Twitter at CPhilly19, and he joins us via the Progressive Guest Line. Chris, thanks for hanging out with us here on this Sunday. Hope all is well. I want to start off with one of the teams I'm most interested in this conference, and that's LSU, the team everyone is interested. What, in your opinion, are realistic expectations for the Tigers in year one under Lane Kiffin?
Yeah, guys, first things first, I appreciate you having me on. It's always a pleasure. It depends on who you ask what realistic expectations are, right? I think you saw last week the expectations ramped up. We even had some folks over at SEC Network and the ESPN affiliate saying that it was national championship or bust in year one of Lane Kiffin, which I think is preposterous and bordering on the point of irresponsible to push that narrative. You know, I think there's always context involved, right, with a year one and what deems success. And after you go out and spend $40+ million on the roster and you make Lane Kiffin the highest paid coach in the country, it feels like potentially it could be college football playoff or bust. I think as long as they're in the hunt, though, guys, I don't think the season is deemed a failure in year one, even if you don't make the college football playoff. I think you can have a successful season if you go 8-4. That's probably where I would draw the line. I think anything worse than that, you're going to leave with a really sour taste in your mouth. But I think you're looking at an 8-9 win football team, potentially could get to 10-2 and get in the college football playoff. And who knows, guys, 9-3 might actually be good enough to get you in. But I think year one, if the offense takes a step forward, especially from the running game side of things, because they struggle mightily there the last couple of years, if they are in the college football playoff conversation late into the season, I write that up as a success. Again, I'm still a believer that in year ones, you have a transition period. There's a lot of new, over 50 new players on the roster. You're changing a culture, essentially, in a very short amount of time. So I am not of the belief that it's even college football playoff or bust for Lane Kiffin and the LSU Tigers. I think even in an 8 or 9 win campaign, you can take a step forward in year one.
Chris, I want to look at Lane Kiffin's old team here because Ole Miss is very intriguing to me. I think Trinidad Chambliss, if he entered the draft last year, to me, number two quarterback in a rather weak draft class. I love this kid's game. I love his competitive fire. What is the ceiling for Ole Miss now as they don't have Kiffin anymore, but Chambliss is coming back?
I mean, I think the ceiling for Ole Miss is very similar to a season they had last year. I mean, I think this is a team that potentially could make the SEC championship game and win it. I think they're on the short list of teams that can realistically win an SEC title. And being a game away from a national title, I will not sit there and say on the short list that they're one that, you know, I feel most confident in winning the national title. But with that being said, if you feel good about a team winning the SEC, therefore, I think that equates to feeling good about their chances of winning the whole thing if they get hot. So, I think the sky's the limit for them. I think with Trinidad Chambliss and Kawan Lacy back, which is a big piece of that at running back, you've got two of the best players, not just in the SEC, but all of college football. Now, they've got some questions to answer on the defensive side, a lot of new faces and guys at wide receiver. They're replacing over 3,000 yards of receiving from a season ago. And you mentioned the big piece of it, right? What does Ole Miss football look like post Lane Kiffin? And maybe even more importantly, Charlie Weiss Jr., who was the guy who had his hands all over that offensive attack. But I don't know, guys, if Pete Golding is the long-term answer at Ole Miss or what it looks like after Lane Kiffin, but I think short term he was the best possible hire they could have made. I think Ole Miss is a team, again, I think could absolutely get to Atlanta and can make a push deep into the playoffs. When you got a guy like Trinidad Chambliss at quarterback, there really is no ceiling for your football team.
Man, can you? I'm just trying to wrap my head around the fact that, like, if Ole Miss once again, let's say, got to the CFP semifinal and LSU went 8-4, like, we try to be rational on this show, but the outside noise might not be as rational if that is the result here in 2026. This is Live Bet Sunday. Femi Bebefe, Joe Serralo, hanging out with Chris Phillips, founder of SEC Unfiltered on Twitter at CPhilly19. From a betting perspective, taking a look at the odds, Georgia's your favorite to win the conference, plus 260, Texas plus 310. You have A&M and Alabama at plus 850, LSU 9-1, Ole Miss 11-1, Oklahoma 13, Tennessee 20. We can go on down the line. But in your opinion, when you look at the odds that we have popped up on the screen here, who do you think is the most underrated team in the SEC?
I think Oklahoma at 13-1. I can't believe they're that low. I just kept waiting on you to say Oklahoma, Oklahoma, and I just never heard it until later in the later in the bit there. So, I mean, I think the Sooners at 13-1, again, they're one of the teams on my short list that I think can win an SEC championship. And I think based off those odds, I would classify them as one of the most underrated teams in the SEC. The other one I would say, Alabama at plus 850. Mm-hmm. Listen, I understand the way the season ended last year, I think, has got a lot of people selling the stock on Kalen DeBoer and the Crimson Tide. I mean, guys, you look at the way the schedule sets up, and if Keelon Russell, I think he's one of the most important pieces, one of the most important players in the SEC this season, because if he pops at the quarterback position for Alabama, which is why Ryan Grubb and Kalen DeBoer were brought in the first place, right? They are offensive masterminds to their own degree. If they can get the best out of him, I still think they have enough on the offensive side. They've got to run the football better, obviously, as do many of these top contenders in the SEC, if we're being honest. But I think Alabama is one at plus 850. I love the value. They should have one of the best defenses in the country. You could argue they have the best secondary in all of college football, and I like the way the schedule sets up well for the Crimson Tide. You look at it pretty early on. They're able to, with all due respect to who they play, kind of ease into the season before that big matchup middle of the year against Georgia. And like I mentioned, the other one going back, Oklahoma. I'm still a believer in John Mateer. I think the offense can take a step forward. And guys, you're giving me probably one of the best, if not the best defense in the SEC. So those are the two for me. I look at the board and I think are the best value plays and two of the most underrated teams.
Chris, talk to me about South Carolina here, because this is a team looked great 2 years ago, had high expectations last year. I was on Lenora Sellers last year for a Heisman shot. Didn't pan out. Which Gamecock squad do we get? Last year's or the one from the year before that really impressed everyone?
Well, Shane Beamer's job and his future in Columbia is very dependent on that very question, right? It has been a roller coaster, to say the very least, in the Shane Beamer era at South Carolina. Multiple years, obviously, they have overachieved, and you're talking preseason win totals or what have you. They've more than shattered those win totals and made betters a lot of money, and they've, you know, also done quite the opposite, right? I mean, look at last year. They were expected to be right there in the college football playoff hunt. You had Lenora Sellers back, Nick Harbor, Dylan Stewart, so many others that people were high on and just were not able to live up to expectations to a point of going 4-8. I mean, again, I think some of us were doubting some of the Garnet and Black Kool-Aid that was out there, but going 4-8 was never, I thought, even in the realm of possibility. So I hate to say it, the real answer is we just don't know. I tend to think South Carolina, there's a decent chance they're right there in the middle. I guess it depends on how you would classify a 6-6 season. You know, I think that, because weirdly enough, it would be a step forward for them from what happened a season ago. But I think obviously year six of Shane Beamer in Columbia, like I mentioned, that trio of Sellers, Harbor, and Stewart is back. Three of the most dynamic players in the SEC. They're expecting a lot more than just, you know, a fringe bowl team in Columbia. So, you know, I think when you look at the schedule, I think when you look at this football team, and I think when you look at Shane Beamer, I think it's really hard to trust Shane Beamer after what happened a season ago, the Texas A&M game. Who can forget that? They had six games, I believe he said, at SEC Media Days, in which they were leading or tied and ended up losing all six of them. So it's just a team that's really, really hard to trust, but there is a very big boom or bust feeling when you have a guy, especially just going back to the quarterback position, Lenora Sellers. But I'm kind of the mindset, guys, I've got to see it before I can really believe it, before I can really buy in and believe that the Gamecocks are back and the Gamecocks are for real.
Chris, we got about 40 seconds left. Last one here. How many SEC teams, in your opinion, make the college football playoff?
Guys, I've got four. I got Georgia, Texas, Alabama, and Ole Miss making the college football playoff. And I do believe for the first time we have a 9-3 SEC team that makes the playoff. For me, that's the Ole Miss Rebels. I've got a number of different 9-3 teams in my predicted order of finish, but I do think it's four. Four feels like the right number to me. Dream scenario is five, and I think three would be a little disappointing. So I'm going to go with four.
10 seconds. Is SEC going to win a national title and end the drought, or are we going to still be doing this Big Ten thing?
I'm going to remove my SEC bias and tell you I think the SEC, I would take the field right now. Even though I feel really, really good about Georgia, I just feel like there's so many other elites out there. I'll take the field right now.
Gotcha. We cannot wait. College football a month away. Make sure you check out all of Chris's work over at SEC Unfiltered, and he's on Twitter at CPhilly19. Chris, thanks as always for joining us. Have fun this season. I'm sure we'll talk to you down the line, man.
Yeah, guys, a pleasure anytime. Really appreciate it.
Awesome. That is Chris Phillips joining us via
the
Progressive Guest Line. Real quick, want to let everybody know that the Circus Survivor documentary is back, bigger than ever, with $18.7 million on the line. and a new Grandissimo format raising the stakes. Miss episode one? Well, catch it now on YouTube. Just search VSiN Live. Episode 2 airs this Wednesday at 9 o'clock Eastern. Every Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern on VSiN, or catch up anytime on YouTube. Just search VSiN Live. More Live Bet Sunday on the other side.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The good times are rolling along here on Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN. Femi Bepfe, Joe Serralo hanging with you guys on this Sunday afternoon. I got an entertaining 3M Open going on the PGA Tour. Jackson Koivun with a three-shot lead. Scottie Scheffler in solo second at 20 under. Brian Harman is currently at 19 under, and he's looking to save par here on the 13th hole. Got a lot of Major League Baseball going on as well. We do have a game that is set to get underway in about 20 minutes or so. We'll touch that at the top of the hour. But joining us right now as we turn our attention to the Major League Baseball trade deadline, it is the co-founder of Just Baseball, Peter Apple, joins us here on Live Bet Sunday, and he's on Twitter at PeterApple23, joining us via the Progressive guest line. Peter, thanks for hanging with us here on this Sunday. We really appreciate it. I want to start off with the trade that we saw last night, because to me, it's rather interesting. I think a lot of people have been clamoring for the Washington Nationals. Hey, can they get an arm? Well, the Red Sox send the Nationals Connolly early. The Sox go ahead and get Curtis Meade there. What do you make of that trade? What does it do for these two teams? The Nationals, they got something going for them. And of course, the Red Sox being the hottest team in baseball right now.
Well, you're definitely right. It is an interesting trade. I feel like as fans, what we're used to is we have one team that's a buyer and one team that's a seller, and that buyer gets the big league player and the seller gets the prospects. And sometimes we see a one-for-one swap, but more often than not, we're seeing the Brandon Nimmo for Marcus Semien type, where we already know who both players are. With this one, we'll see. Right on the Red Sox side, you get Curtis Meade, who I believe in his breakout. He's just 25 years old, came up as a 22-year-old, kind of bounced around, never really found his footing, but he's made tangible changes in the box, and it starts with his approach. What he has done is basically said, I'm not going to swing as much. I'm not going to swing outside the zone. I'm going to wait for my pitch inside the zone and punish it. I'm going to try to pull fly balls, and that's exactly what he's done, posting a 135 WRC plus, which basically means he's been 35% better than a league average hitter, posting 17 homers and an 852 OPS. And he can play some second, he can play some first, he can play some third. So he gives the Red Sox some versatility on the infield while also giving them that right-handed bat with thump that they absolutely needed. On the National side, they needed a pitcher with a high floor. We had Connolly early on our show, the Just Baseball show, in November. And the biggest thing that jumped out to me was his fearlessness and his maturity, a type of makeup that I think is going to give him a long and fruitful career. However, I don't see a ton of upside with his arm. I think he's probably more of a really strong number four or a really solid number three starter. So the Nationals, they get the arm that they needed. The Red Sox get the bat with, I'd say, a little bit more upside, but also a little bit more downside. It's more of a risk on that side, but ultimately feels like a win-win for me.
Peter, speaking of trades, we haven't seen a single player dictate the market quite like Scoobal's doing this summer in quite some time. Detroit's only three games out of a playoff position, though, nipping at Cleveland in that division for that sixth spot, that wild card, only five out of first place with the White Sox there. What does Detroit do? Do they deal Scoobal and, you know, bet on their future here? Or do they go all in this year with the lockout pending?
I still think they're going to end up trading him. Their general manager, Scott Harris, is, what's the best way to describe him? He's a little careful, and he's also very analytical. And I think he sees that when you look at all these different projection models, including my own, Detroit probably has a 30% chance of making the playoffs. And it's not often that you could trade quite possibly the most expensive rental we've seen since the Milwaukee Brewers acquired CeCe Sabathia back in 2008. and a lot of teams are going to be calling, which again is just going to drive up the price. And the big bad Dodgers are certainly going to be involved as well, which is in turn going to make other teams increase their price. So I think, and I saw a recent report today, that the Tigers still want to show their fans that they're not waving the white flag this season. So they might trade Tarek Skubal, maybe for a big league arm and a prospect that they could slot directly into the rotation and maybe buy. I'm really interested to see what Scott Harris does this deadline. And I think that this last week of games up until the deadline is as important for the Tigers as it is for any team in baseball.
I mean, Tarek Skubal coming off, obviously, a really good start on Friday, 7 1/3, 12 strikeouts, only allowed one earned run. Just happened to be a two-time Cy Young winner as well. To follow up on that, though, like, who do you think is most likely to trade for Skubal? You mentioned the Dodgers, of course, they're going to be in any conversation for a big-name player, but who do you think is most likely, come deadline in 8 days, to have Tarek Skubal on their roster?
I really do think it's the Dodgers and then everybody else, but I also, there's another team that I don't think that we should sleep on, and that is the Tampa Bay Rays, which I know sounds shocking to hear. We know Tampa, they're this analytical team that doesn't spend a lot of money. However, they have a new owner, and that owner finally wants to spend some money. And the Rays, they have been aggressive when they see a player that they love. We can't forget, they were in the Ohtani sweepstakes. They offered Freddie Freeman that deal. So when they see a player, they try. They just haven't been able to fork over enough money when they're going up against, of course, the LA Dodgers, who of course got Shohei Ohtani and Freddie Freeman. However, in a trade, their farm system can compete with any. And I'm sure this owner and this front office sees a weak American League. And they also know that, well, they have three starters, but wouldn't it be nice to have Tarek Skubal? Because that could be the piece that gets you to the World Series. And as we know, all you got to do is get to the World Series. We saw the Blue Jays almost beat the Dodgers, and anything could happen. So don't sleep on Tampa.
So if Tampa or the Dodgers, one gets Skubal, obviously one misses out. What are your thoughts on Sandy Alcantara as a consolation prize? The Marlins 2 weeks ago were firmly in a wild card position, 52-42. Now they've lost 11 in a row. They're below 500. Is Alcantara getting moved? Are they moving other guys? What do you think Miami does? Do they blow it up?
No, I think Miami is going to retool. I think they're going to be one of those teams that's pretty quiet at the deadline because they have a young core, but they're ahead of schedule when it comes to their rebuild. I don't think Sandy is going to get traded, really, because he means so much to the city of Miami that I don't think a few prospects coming back in return, right? They already don't get a ton of fans to the stadium, and that would absolutely zap all momentum that this young team has right now. It's a fun core, and I know they've lost a bunch of games in a row, but before that, they were one of the hottest teams in baseball, the best team in baseball in the month of June. So I think Miami is going to win a couple here soon, and I think they're going to more retool. I think they could make a similar type deal to what we just saw with the Red Sox and the Nationals. The Nationals and the Marlins are in a similar spot where they're going to go after players with control that they want to add to their big league roster for a long time. But I don't see them doing the classic, oh, this guy is really good, let's trade him for some prospects, like maybe some other sellers will.
This is Live Bet Sunday. Femi Bebefe, Joe Serralo, hanging out with Peter Apple, co-founder of Just Baseball on Twitter at PeterApple23. The New York Mets are obviously out of it. Soto, unfortunately, now on the IL with the calf strain. Which guys on the Mets do you think are going to garner the most attention over these next 8 days?
Well, attention and the best player moved, I think, is a little bit different because Freddie Peralta, I feel like, is going to have the most attention come this deadline, considering he's a free agent after the season. He's a big time name. However, he has had a really rough year. And, you know, we saw him pitching today against the Dodgers. Last I checked, I think he gave up 3 earned in 4 innings. But he's a very interesting case because he's been a dominant pitcher for a very long time. But as soon as the Mets have a bad season and they need to trade him, he has his worst season to date. So I think what we're going to hear a lot is a lot of different teams have different opinions on Freddie Peralta. I assume some won't want him at all, and some will think that he can rebound to be that ace level pitcher that we have seen in the past. But I also think Luke Weaver is arguably going to be the best reliever moved at this deadline. Of course, Mason Miller of the San Diego Padres, his name has been floated out there, but Weaver seems the most likely to move. And Weaver over the last three seasons has posted a 2.94 ERA, 1.98 ERA this season. He's already had an incredible postseason run with the Yankees. So expect those two to be on the move. And also don't be shocked if the Mets are listening in on Francisco Alvarez, their young catcher, just because Luis Torrens has taken such a big step forward this year defensively. And it's a good problem to have when you have a lot of catchers and a lot of teams are in need for a catcher. So I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility we see Alvarez moved as well.
I can't wait to see what happens by next Monday, like 8 days away from the MLB trade deadline. So many movers, so many shakers. I think it's going to be a fun week plus. He is Peter Apple. Make sure you check out Just Baseball. He's on Twitter at PeterApple23. Peter, thanks as always. I'm sure we will talk to you down the line, my friend.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. That is Peter Apple joining us via the Progressive Guest Line. How about that, Joe? It's like we hear about the Dodgers. We hear about the Phillies potentially. The Rays for Tarek Skubal?
I think it makes a lot of sense, man. I mean, you look at that American League, and it's just so weak. If you're Tampa Bay, look, you could taste it in 08, you didn't finish. You could taste it in 2020, again, you didn't finish. I feel like this is the year. It's get to the World Series, and, you know, obviously people might say that they'd be deterred from going all in because the Dodgers are a juggernaut, but the path to get there is so easy, and then you got seven games, see what you can do. Yeah, go all in.
Yeah. And there's no guarantee that the Dodgers get there. I get where we've all penciled them in, but it's not guaranteed. October, it can be random. That does it for hour number one. Coming up, hour number two, we get you set with what's going on in Major League Baseball and the PGA Tour.